Good Sunday morning to each of you. I invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 14. Joshua chapter 14. And as you're turning to Joshua 14, which will be our central passage for today, I have an important question for your consideration. And it is simply this: do you have a cardiologist? Do you have a cardiologist? Post-COVID, my reality is that I now have a cardiologist. I just see him once a year, and I have a little pill box that has a pill I'm to take every day to regulate my heart rate. It's important for us, isn't it, to know how our hearts are functioning physically. And a cardiologist assists us with that. We have examinations and all kinds of tests to address the condition of our hearts physically and to do something about it. A cardiologist. I would suggest to you today that it's more important for us to examine the spiritual condition of our hearts. This morning, I would love for us all to consider that question. What is the spiritual condition of my heart? In Jeremiah, we're reminded that our God knows, he sees, and he examines our heart's attitudes before him. The author of Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13 says this: and there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. That last phrase in verse 13 of Hebrews 4 describes the reality of the judgment seat of Christ. He knows, our Lord knows, he sees, and he examines our heart's attitude before him. When I was in Bible college, I had an instructor named Dr. Dave Reed. Perhaps you've heard of that name. Dr. Dave was a great communicator and practical instructor of God's truth, a dear friend as well, who encouraged me in life and in ministry. And when he taught a course entitled The Old Testament Walkthrough, or the Old Testament Survey, rather, we learned the Old Testament walkthrough. And the walkthrough had everything to do with these motions and key words that it would help us remember the big themes of the whole Old Testament. Creation, fall, flood, nations, and the walkthrough would go on. In class, he would have us come up on a stage, much like the stage I stand on before you, and he would time us and see how quickly we could do the Old Testament walkthrough, getting all the words and the highlights and the motions correct. I remember it to this day. I still use motions in ministry to help communicate God's truth, and Dr. Dave Reed influenced me in such a manner. There was a time where we would get to the section that had to deal with the first three kings of Israel, and their names would be mentioned in the walkthrough, and then their spiritual heart conditions would be mentioned as well. And so we would get to King Saul, and we would say, Saul, no heart. King David, whole heart. King Solomon, half heart. 40, 120 years, representing their three reigns. Saul, no heart. Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and into chapter 3 describes spiritual heart conditions. And one of those heart conditions is that of the natural man. The natural man is someone who is still dead in their trespasses and sins, has never trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Saul, no heart, hearkens to the reality of the natural man, the condition of a lost person. When you examine your spiritual heart condition this very morning, would that be most accurate in describing your heart condition? Saul, no heart. the natural man, someone who has never trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul also in 1 Corinthians 2 and into 3 describes a spiritual man. A spiritual man, David, whole heart. A spiritual man, a desire to know and follow hard after the Lord Jesus Christ, growing in his goodness and grace, not living perfectly this side of glory, but striving after that, having a heart that could be described as a spiritual heart. Saul, no heart, the natural man. David, whole heart, the spiritual man. The third king that we're considering in the Old Testament walkthrough is King Solomon, half-hearted. Paul, in that same passage, 1 Corinthians 2 and 3, describes this kind of person, a yet carnal, a still carnal, a yet fleshly individual. The Lord Jesus describes that spiritual temperature as one that is lukewarm, and it makes our Savior sick, we find in the letter to the church at Laodicea. Solomon, half-heart, a still carnal, or a yet carnal, still fleshly, lukewarm heart condition. Some of the time you look like you're following after the Lord Jesus Christ, and some of the time you don't. What is the spiritual condition of your heart this morning? Saul, no heart, the natural man. David, whole heart, the spiritual man. Solomon, half heart, the yet carnal, still carnal, lukewarm man. Which heart condition best describes the reality of yours this morning? Joshua chapter 14 often has been described as Caleb's chapter. This is where the land has, they've begun to disperse the land, and Caleb begins dialogue with Joshua and says, I just want to remind you of what I was promised. And so we find in this section where Caleb describes his heart, Moses describes his heart, and others make a statement of the heart condition of Caleb as well. We'll begin at verse 6 in Joshua chapter 14, and it says this, Then the sons of Judah drew near to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, By the way, is anyone here this morning named Caleb? Do you know what the name Caleb means? I have a nephew whose name is Caleb Jonathan. Caleb has this rendering. If you were to look it up, not now, but if you were to look it up sometime, one word that would pop up is the word dog. The idea of a dog used positively. We're a family who loves our dog, Wrigley Lambo. We treat him as if he's the third child in the household. The idea behind Caleb's name meaning dog is this idea of a loyalty that is displayed, this loyal love. I love it. It doesn't always happen this way, but I love it when the rendering or meaning of someone's name fits wonderfully in the text of God's word. We find that here today. In this section dealing with Caleb, we see that what his name means, dog or all heart or full heart or whole heart, really describes the condition of his heart spiritually. What is the condition of your heart this morning? No heart, whole heart, half heart. Caleb speaks up in verse 6 and says this to Joshua. You know, don't you? You remember? You know the word which the Lord spoke to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. So Joshua wants to reminisce, or rather Caleb wants to reminisce with Joshua and begins by saying, you remember, don't you? You remember what God communicated through Moses to us? If you don't remember, Joshua, let me refresh your memory. And he says this in verse 7, I was 40. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. Y'all remember that story? Do you remember that 12 men went to spy on Canaan? The truth is that 10 were bad and 2 were good. I've got to ask you this morning, what do you think they saw in Canaan? Because 10 really were bad and 2 were good. You know, some saw giants big and strong, and some saw grapes with clusters long. You're never going to believe this, but some saw God was in it all. And the truth is, 10 were bad and 2 were good. Joshua and Caleb were the two good spies who went in to spy out the land and to see what it looked like and what they were up against and imagine what it would be like to dwell in the land. They went in with 10 others who had a different mindset and a different worldview and a different perspective. Caleb, at the age of 85, says, "Remember when I was 40? Remember what God promised us through Moses? Remember when we went into the land? Remember what we saw, but remember our minority perspective." Verse 8 says this, "Nevertheless, my brethren," end of verse 7 first, we need to see, Caleb says this, "and I brought word back to him as it was in my heart." I didn't want to skip that. In Numbers 13 and 14, it says something about the heart of Caleb, that Caleb's heart was unique. It was different. And so when these spies went into the land, Caleb's the one who came back. Joshua shared this perspective, but he said how it was in his heart. And the way that it was in his heart was directly related to the way that he viewed God. And we see that and we understand that, but we need to be reminded today that we have to think right in order to live right, and we need to view God in all of his attributes and his characteristics, and Caleb did. And that's why Caleb could come back and say, "I brought word as it was in my heart." My heart was different. I was in the minority. So was Joshua. Verse 8 says this, "Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt with fear." Just for a few moments, I'd love to have you think about the word influence. It's a word that we hear a lot of, the idea of being an influencer and being influenced. It's an important word for us to consider because the reality is we are all influencers. How are we influencing others? And we are all being influenced. It would be helpful for us to think about what kind of influences am I allowing into my mind and heart based upon all that I hear, see, think, and do. Here we have 10 people who made the heart of the people melt with fear. Talk about influence, the majority influence. Nevertheless, my brethren, verse 8, if you're following, went up with me, who went up with me rather, made the heart of the people melt with fear. We know how the rest of the story goes. We know there were some who just said, "You know what? This is too tough." They have fortified cities. They have giants that are enormous. Sure, there's all kinds of bountiful provision, but the challenge is far greater than we could ever accomplish. And so these 10 who had the wrong view of God and the wrong perspective of God communicated too much, impossible, we can't, no way. And the heart of the people melted with fear. And this is the occasion, the rest of the story goes, where the hammer of judgment was brought. And these who, again, this is the 10th time now in this particular section where they said, you know what, God, no thank you. We want to do life our way, not your way. And without taking a lot of time, understand there's great consequence and loss when we land the plane there. When we determine that not following, not trusting, not living and doing life the way God has instructed clearly in His Word, we need to understand, recognize, and realize that there's great consequence and loss. How are you being influenced today, and what kind of influencer are you? 10 people. May the heart of the people melt with fear. But it says this about Caleb, end of verse 8. But I followed. Caleb says this about himself as you're following in the text. But I followed the Lord my God fully, wholeheartedly, all-hearted, completely. If you're reading from the NIV this morning, it says the word wholehearted. If you had to use a word or a phrase to describe your heart, your spiritual heart condition in regards to how you are following after God, how you are seeking Him, and how you are obeying Him, and how you are doing life His way, I ask you this morning, humbly and sincerely, what word would you use? What word would you use to say, this is the condition of my heart this morning in regards to how I am following after God? What would you say? Would you use some of the words we've considered already today? Saul, no heart. Is that your heart condition? Black with sin because you've never trusted in Christ? David, whole heart. And we know David didn't do life perfectly, and yet the Word of God says he's a man after God's own heart. You know what it says about Caleb in Acts chapter 13? That Caleb served the purposes of God in his generation, and he died. I'd love for that to be said of me, unless the Lord returns, which would be very much better. I would love for it to be said of me that John served the purposes of God in his generation, and when God was done with him, he died. It says that about David. David, whole heart. Or are we Solomon-like? Still carnal, yet carnal, still fleshly, lukewarm, half-hearted. Caleb said of himself 45 years later, but I followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. What word would you use today? What word would you use to describe the way you're following after God? Verse 9. So Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land on which your foot has trodden shall be an inheritance to you and to your children forever. I want to remind you in verse 9, I want to remind you of something I share with my children more than they like. But I use this expression over and over, we do with our kids. Doing life God's way is the best way, so obey. Doing life God's way is the best way, so obey. And I'm not suggesting only or solely out of duty, although that's a biblical concept. Reverential, godly fear, but also out of logic and common sense, realizing that, okay, he's the one who makes it, he's the one who creates it, he's the one who designs it, this thing called life, and so if I want life to the fullest, I ought to do it his way. Doing life God's way is the best way, so obey. And so Caleb was given promises in verse 9, and reminded that, listen, this is who God is, and this is what he is like, and you can take him at his word. So it makes sense to trust him. So Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land on which your foot has trod, and everywhere you've stepped, shall be an inheritance to you and to your children forever. Why? Because you have followed the Lord my God fully. Moses made a similar statement about the heart condition of Caleb that Caleb made, describing the way in which he was following after God. Moses says, I'm watching, I'm seeing, I'm observing, and this is what I can say unapologetically and without pause nor hesitation. Moses, you have followed the Lord my God fully, wholeheartedly, all-hearted, completely. Let me ask you this question. What would other people say about your heart condition? As they watch and as they observe and as they see you doing life, how would they describe your spiritual heart condition? Those who see you and know you best, what word or words would they use to describe your heart condition? Remember, God knows. He sees and examines our heart's attitude before him. Everything is laid open and bare before the Maker, Creator God. He knows our heart condition. What would other people say about you? Could they say what Moses said about Caleb? That Caleb, he did indeed follow the Lord his God, my God, fully, wholeheartedly, completely, all-hearted. Now again, I mentioned earlier, the land is starting to be divvied up and divided, and so Caleb appropriately speaks up, and he continues his story and says, listen, and now behold, the Lord has let me live, and I just want to pause there for a moment. There are several statements that Caleb makes in this section that let us have a peek into his mindset and his worldview. It's helpful for us to get in the sandals of the saints who have gone before us, heroes of old, and to think about how they thought. And so when you see that simple statement, and now behold, the Lord has let me live, that's a huge statement in regards to theology proper. It lets us in on the mindset of who Caleb is and how he viewed God. And so he acknowledges, guess what? I'm not the one who gives life and takes it. It is God. God is the one who sovereignly rules and reigns. And so this language that is used in verse 10, these words are important to see what is being conveyed. And now behold, it's the Lord. The Lord is the one who has let me live. It's not my reality. I don't determine it. I don't say, here's every step, every move, every breath that I take. That's the Lord's doing. I am in his hands. You see, Caleb had a big view of God, and he believed in God and who he is and what he has promised. Notice it. The worldview of Caleb in verse 10, and now behold, the Lord has let me live. And then he makes another statement, just as he spoke. What does that convey? Just as he spoke. Here it is again, a reminder that Caleb viewed God in a particular manner, and that God, as I mentioned earlier perhaps to some of you, that God is a God of purpose and plan and of promise. And so Caleb viewed God in a way that he was so worthy of his trust. You said it, that's fine, I'm all in. That's part of being wholehearted. Taking God at his word, understanding what he has said and understanding what he has promised and saying, I get that, and so I will do life that way. These are huge statements about his worldview in just a sentence or less. And now behold, the Lord has let me live. He rules and reigns, just as he spoke. He's a God of promise. And then he makes this statement. These 45 years. God's allowed me to live these 45 years. I've lived these 45 years in light of his promises, and here we are. Can I just say this to all of us, especially those who are a bit on the younger side of life? Can I just say to you, would you please look around? Not literally necessarily, but that wouldn't be bad. But look around while you do life on the planet and notice people that are following fully after God for 4.5+ decades. What a heritage. What a blessing. I look around this room and I notice people that I've known for much of my life. And I see in you this faithfulness that's routine and this willingness to serve and give and persevere and continue and to keep on. And I just want to say thank you. Thank you for the decades of living in light of who God is and what he has promised. And if you're a young person here today and you just want to think of yourself young, and even though you're not, whatever, that's fine. But if you are a young person here today, may I suggest to you, you pick up the Clue phone today. It is ringing loudly. And we desperately need young people who want to be men and women of faith, who believe in who God is and what he has promised, and who are willing to say, I'm all in. I will do it his way, regardless of what the world suggests and says. We're desperate for this. And so it would be great, young people, for you to go up to the Hall of Faithers, those who have been doing this for longer than you've been breathing and on the planet, and say, you know what, thank you for your faithful example. And you know what they're going to say to you, by the way? They're going to say, it's not me, it's God. It's Christ in me, which we sang together this morning. But yet we have example after example of people who have done decades of life in ministry. How many years are you in? How many years do you have under your belt in regards to following after God? Caleb says, you know what? Here it is. The Lord has let me live, and here's what he's promised. Just as he spoke these 45 years from the time that the Lord spoke this word to Moses when Israel walked in the wilderness, verse 10, and he says this, and now behold, I am 85 years old today. Happy birthday, Caleb. Here he says, I'm 85 years old today, and this all started when I was 40. We can do the simple math still, right? 45 years. 45 years of wholehearted following after God. Happy birthday, Caleb. And listen to what he says in verse 11. Can we say this? 4.5 decades in, he says this. I'm still as strong today as I was in the day Moses sent me. As my strength was then, so my strength is now. For what? For war and for going out and coming in. He knows that entering into the land and receiving the land that was promised is not going to be a cakewalk. It's not going to be without challenge and adversity and battle and effort that's needed. Verse 12 says, now then, give me this hill country about which the Lord spoke on that day. What day? 45 years ago, that day. For you heard on that day, here's the reality, that Anakim, these giants, big and strong, were there with great fortified cities. And then he lets us in on yet another worldview, mindset, and gaze. He uses the word perhaps, but it's not a perhaps of maybe, maybe not. It's an evidencing that this is who God is. Perhaps the Lord will be with me. He makes a statement that evidences the reality of dependence. Remember, the heart of the people melted with fear. One of the reasons their hearts melted with fear is because they were thinking in and of their own strength. Joshua and Caleb acknowledged a different source of strength that comes from one who is faithful and merciful and gracious and is a God of purpose and plan and promise, who can be trusted in and through it all. One of the more challenging lessons of the last few years for me, and as a result, my family, is to acknowledge that, you know what? We can't do this alone. We can't do this thing called the Christian life in and of our own strength. 2 Corinthians 3:5, I believe, says that in and of ourselves, we are insufficient we are inadequate, 2 Corinthians 3:5, but our sufficiency, our adequacy is found in him. Those who wait on the Lord will gain new strength, we read in Isaiah chapter 40. There's this reality that we all struggle with, and it's this, saying that I cannot do it on my own. We live in a world that bombards us with that erroneous message. Do whatever you want to do and be whatever you want to be and rely upon your own self and strength. In our church back home, we are going through the book of Proverbs. By the way, October 1st today, I encourage you to read a Proverbs a day for the month of October. Last week, we were on Proverbs chapter 3, where we're reminded of our part and God's part. We are supposed to trust. We are supposed to not lean. We are supposed to acknowledge, and he promises to make straight. Three things that we're supposed to do. Trust, don't lean, acknowledge. One thing he promises to do, make straight. Be reminded, what one word is repeated three times in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Your. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean upon your understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, four times, and he will direct or make straight your path. It's an individual choice to trust in God. I can't do it for you. You can't do it for me. And Caleb evidences the fact in his life that he believed and he trusted and lived life in light of who God is and what he said. Perhaps the Lord will be with me. I can't do this on my own. I'm dependent upon him for help. And then together, we shall drive them out as the Lord has spoken. Again, a reliance, a nod to the reality and dependence upon someone else who is divine. Do you know that the Godhead, all three in the New Testament, are described as helpers? Surely we know that of the Holy Spirit, the helper, the comforter will come. But the same word is used of the Lord Jesus Christ, our advocate, in 1 John chapter 2. Another rendering of the word helper. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, the Father, the God of all mercies and the Father of comfort, or the Father of mercies, excuse me, and the God of all comfort, that word there is the same word. So God the Father, his Son, the Lord Jesus, and the Holy Spirit are all described as a source of divine help. Isn't that an encouragement that the triune God, all three members of the Godhead, are on our side? We had triad help. We need it desperately. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit all want to come alongside in their unique roles as part of the Godhead and encourage and help us and lift us up. We're not in this alone. Amen. Aren't you thankful for that? I'm desperate for help. You're desperate for help, even if you don't want to admit it. And we tend to think we've arrived, and we tend to think we're God's gift. And we tend to think we can do this on our own. The sooner we can get over ourselves, the better. And acknowledge that we are fully and completely dependent upon him. Perhaps the Lord will be with me, and I shall drive them out as the Lord has spoken. Guess what happens? 13, he gets what was promised. So Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, for an inheritance. Therefore, verse 14, therefore Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, until this day. Why is that? What is the statement of summary that is made about Caleb? Because he followed the Lord God of Israel fully, wholly, wholeheartedly, completely, all-hearted. Three times. Three times it says that. It says it also in Numbers about Caleb as well, that he had a unique and different heart. He was willing to stand in the minority and acknowledge who God is and what he's like and what he's promised and follow with all his heart. What is the condition of your heart this morning? actually this afternoon. If you had to pick a word, what word would you use to describe your heart condition? Or if someone were to describe your heart condition as they observed and as they watched, what would they say based upon what they see? And most importantly, what would God say? There's an expression, a phrase that has been used over the years entitled, "Face the music." Face the music. And I love to get the rest of the story and the meaning behind the phrase. Face the music. Many years ago, a man wanted to play in the Imperial Orchestra. Think about this reality. But he couldn't play a note. Since he was a person of great wealth and influence, however, he demanded to be allowed to join the orchestra so that he could perform in front of the king. Are you picturing this? The conductor agreed to let him sit in the second row of the orchestra. Even though he couldn't read music, he was given a flute, and when a concert would begin, he would raise his instrument, pucker his lips, and move his fingers. He went through, listen to these words, he went through all the motions of playing, but he never made a sound. This deception went on for 2 years. Then one day, a new conductor took over the Imperial Orchestra. He told the orchestra that he wanted to personally audition all the players, all the musicians, to see how well they could play. The audition would weed out all those who did not meet his standards, and he would dismiss them from the orchestra. One by one, the players performed in his presence. Frantic with worry, when it was his turn, the phony flautist pretended to be sick. The doctor who was ordered to examine him, however, declared that he was perfectly well. The conductor insisted that the man appear and demonstrate his skill. Shamefacedly, the man had to confess that he was a fake. That was the day he had to face the music. Today, we would like to encourage all who are listening to do that very thing, to face the music. To examine the spiritual heart condition that is most accurately yours. Being reminded that God does that. He knows, he sees, and he examines our heart's attitude before him. What would you say to describe the reality of your heart condition? What would other people say to describe the reality of your heart condition? And most importantly, what would God say? What does he see? What does he examine? And how does he evaluate? May we think on these things together today. Father, help us. Help us to recognize, help us to realize that you know and that you see and you examine our heart's attitude before you. It's important to examine our hearts physically and get the help of a cardiologist, but it's more important for us to examine our hearts spiritually. And so we pray that that would occur and take place today. May all of us face the music, acknowledging and admitting the reality of our heart's condition and responding in obedience to it. Father, there may be hearts today that are just like King Saul. No hearted, those who are the natural man, the natural woman, those who are lost and dead in their sin and trespasses. I pray that today they might realize and recognize that you, our great God, through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, have provided a way for that heart condition to change radically and completely, to be born again. So we pray for those who are no-hearted, like King Saul, like the natural person. Father, we think of those who are like Caleb, who followed the Lord his God, our God. You are God fully, wholeheartedly, completely, all-hearted. Like King David, who was known as a man after your own heart, our great God. We pray that we might examine and that we might purpose to have a heart that follows fully. Like David, like the spiritual person described in your word. Father, the reality is that conviction is part of this consideration, and many would have to acknowledge and admit that they're lukewarm, yet or still carnal, a believer who doesn't smell or look like or walk like or talk like a believer. Someone who is half-hearted like King Solomon. We pray, Father, for conviction and confession and repentance, for heart change. And may we all acknowledge and see and recognize, like Caleb did, that we can't do this alone. That we are completely and entirely dependent upon divine help, enabling, assistance, comfort, and encouragement. So, Father, we pray that we'd acknowledge our dependence and that we would trust and that we would not lean and that we would acknowledge allowing you to direct our paths. Father, help us to ask and answer, what is the condition of my heart? And may we all purpose together to say that we want it to be wholehearted. And we need your help to accomplish that. So we acknowledge that and ask for that today in Jesus' name. Amen.